So I have a question for you. How many of you in here eBay? Okay, come on. Really, how many of you in here eBay? Tell the truth. Well, I do, and I just love it, you know? It is a cultural phenomena, and it's fascinating. eBay really reflects the pulse of the public. It reflects our world. You name it, and you can find it there. Well, I had to force myself to stop looking at these Bell Telephone antique phones just to write this talk. There are phones of every type. Some of them are well over 100 years old, and some of them are brand new. And you may be saying to yourself, oh, she needs a phone. She doesn't. She doesn't need one at all. I have plenty of phones at home. And you might be thinking, well, what in the world are you doing? So let me share with you the story of my romance with telephones. My aunt, who died 13 years ago, worked for Southern Bell longer than it's even possible to work today. That's true. Now, the reason being is my grandfather in rural Louisiana was an itinerant Southern Baptist minister, and he traveled from church to church on buggy, spreading the word, but it was not a high-paying job at all. Now, he died when my aunt was 8 years old, but even if he hadn't died, there was hardly any money. But after that, they farmed in order to eat. Now, my Aunt Pearl had to drop out of school after the 8th grade. But despite the lack of a high school education, she got work with what we call the phone company back then. Some of you may remember that. There was only one. And she became a switchboard operator, which was an excellent job at the time. She was 13 years old. Imagine that. 13 years old. But despite the lack of that high school education, she was smart, she was motivated, and she had the most wonderful sense of humor. So she progressed. Now, working for the phone company, capital P, capital C, because you remember, there was only the one, she got to have as many phones as she wanted and make as many phone calls as she wanted. Now, in 1963, the scandal, my aunt had a telephone in her bathroom. I'm not making this up. She really did. Now, all my life, I heard the most fascinating stories from the phone company. They range from New Orleans to Springfield, Illinois, because my aunt married what was called back then someone from up north. And she had an assignment change. So part of her new job was to listen to customer conversations. It's not wiretapping. It was supposedly for evaluation of the line connection quality. However, my aunt's favorite pastime was listening to Adlai Stevenson's conversations. If you don't remember Adlai Stevenson, he was the former governor of Illinois. He was a 2-time presidential nominee, and later he was ambassador to the UN. Aunt Pearl, I said, how often were you doing this? Well, baby, she said, just as often as I could. She said he was a fine man, always talking about his children. Obviously, she should know. But excuse me. For me, Southern Bell's slogan of spin the dial and span the nation really was true because I thought the phone opened up the world and it was my ticket out of rural Louisiana. So is it any wonder that I love telephones? That's my first phone given to me by my aunt right there. I don't know how old it is. But I love phones, and they were given to me by the woman who watched Soul Train with me. Does it get any better? Well, apparently my mother thought it did. However, let me say this. My mother loved her sister-in-law greatly. After all, Aunt Pearl introduced her best friend to her brother. And after they married, her comment said it all. "Babe, I'm so glad we married you." And that's why I got so familiar with the phone company. My aunt called my mother all the time, and I mean all the time, and they had great fun. In fact, one of my mother's favorite things in life was Pearl's great laugh. But for my mother, there was just this one thing. For most of her life, my aunt weighed about 300 pounds. And concerned for Pearl's health, Mother urged her to lose weight. But have I mentioned that my mother was obsessed with weight? That she cared only for Pearl's health was a mark of how much she loved her. And there's one other thing. I'm a whole lot like my aunt. And no, I have not been eavesdropping on Sonny Perdue or even Barack Obama, but I'm just enough like her to wonder what it would be like. Now, Mother greatly feared Little Pearl, as she sometimes called me, would be like her aunt in more than personality. And Mother had a horror that I would repeat my aunt's weight issues. So hence we come to the basis of today's talk, and that is about mythology. Here's what mythology is defined as. A story, usually involving some being, hero, event, with or without a basis of fact, that usually involves deities and explains something, a practice, a rite, or a phenomenon of nature. A myth is also any invented story or idea. But here comes the kicker of myth. An unproved or false collective belief that is used to justify a social institution. Let me repeat that. It is an unproved or false collective belief that is used to justify a social institution. Given that, I am certain that my family would have invented mythology if it hadn't already been done. Now, you know, Aunt Pearl was a great storyteller. Mother made a god of being thin. A lot of rituals at our house evolved around what we ate, and it had no factual basis, yet permeated our consciousness. I learned no matter how smart you were, how good you were, how generous or funny you were better if you were thin. I bet we all have some version of that, don't we? Now, I could tell you some stories about what happened, but I'm not going to. I'm not. Because while I believe my family invented dysfunction, the dis in dysfunction I'm certain we put in, that I have learned in experience that all families have their stories. And boy, could we hear something if we began to share today. In fact, I think we'd be here all night, and nobody wants that. So let's cut to the chase. Here's the fact. The stories don't matter. They don't. All that matters is what we do with them. And the stories don't matter to God either. Whoa, what did she just say, you might be thinking? Let me say it again. The stories don't matter to God. Because God is not an individual or a personality watching over us, finding us naughty, a.k.a. sinful, or nice, a.k.a. righteous. That's a myth. That's a myth. God is so much bigger than our projections and exists only in the present tense. There's no past, there's no future, there's only this moment. So God is not keeping score, throwing thunderbolts, sending diseases, or even blessing you with the children your mother just said would be your payback. But, you know, the stories matter to us. You and I get to choose how they matter. A wise teacher said to me that all the events of my life would somehow be used to help others. So to fulfill that prophecy, and because a myth is as good as a mile, depending on what you do with the mile, here's what I've learned. And I call it Myth-Busting 101. And you fill in the blanks with your own version of this because I'm really clear that we all have it. Myth number one, I can't. Also referred to as you, he, she, or it can't. Well, yes, I can, and so can you. We can be, do, have, and experience what we want. Our very dreams and desires are evidence that there must be a way to fulfill them. It's part of our basic creative nature. We wouldn't have them if there wasn't a way to have them in the physical, not just in the mental. Because, you know, there are any obstacles in the mind of God. There's no too fat, too thin, too short, too tall, too unimaginative, too anything. You know, it's just not. Unless we choose to put it there. Unless we choose to put it there. You know, it's knocking the door shall be opened. Now, so yes, I can, and yes, you can. But can what? Well, we can create what we think, feel, believe, and imagine. But that's not really good enough because in actuality, we are already doing it. It's not that we can, it's that we always are doing so. You know, as a man thinketh. So let me be really clear. I believe, and I want this to be really crystal for you, I believe that we can be the best of who we are, not someone else. We're not going to have someone else's experience. Because here's an example. Theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking is almost totally paralyzed, is in a wheelchair, and speaks through a computer. And yet, his mind has roamed the universe. He is the father of three and a proud grandfather. ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease, has affected his life, but it hasn't controlled it. We are who we are. We didn't come here to be anyone else. But it's not about I can't. It's about I can and I am creating my best life. And as each of us do this, the sky is the limit. So the first one is I can't. That's a myth. The second one is nothing changes. Well, yes, it does. Everything changes. If you could look at a rock under a strong enough microscope, on the what we call the quantum level, you would find chaotic motion, even violent motion, in something that appears perfectly still. There's an Indian saying that you can never step in the same river twice. Oh, you can get in what we call the same river, but it's never the same, even though it may appear to be. And so think about this. Even though we can't see it, every breath we take brings innumerable changes within our body. So things do change, whether we realize it or not. And when we truly change our minds, the rules of the ballpark get thrown out. Everything changes. Life can change in an instant. Not when we say we've changed our mind or we really think we've changed our mind, but when we truly change our minds. And somebody has come up to you or me and said, I don't know how many number of times. Well, I did it over and over and over again, and nothing changed. Spiritual laws deliver our beliefs to us, whether we want them to or not. So it's interesting that even when we think things don't change, they are. But the fact is, we keep changing them back to the same thing over and over and over. So I'll repeat what to some people is a radical thought. Change your mind, change your thinking. You get what you give. Change what you give, and you'll change what you get. Now, new thought is not new, and it's certainly not our parameter only. In Newsweek, the December 1st issue, Kim Lute, who happens to live here in Atlanta, said this. Because of my experiences and routines, I think I'm healthy. I hope any definition of health will underscore that presence of illness isn't nearly as important as one's ability to overcome it. I'm going to repeat that. That's very different. The presence of illness isn't nearly as important as one's ability to overcome it. And Kim Lute should know she's had two liver transplants. Myth number three, if I don't see it, it doesn't exist. I've tried that. Have you? Now, in that same Newsweek, Sharon Begley wrote in an article that concerned DNA and destiny this. I thought it was just wonderful. Really, people, can we start recognizing that just because something does not change does not mean it cannot change? Instead, maybe we just haven't identified what changes it. Now, all the answers to everything we want to know are floating out there in the universe. And when we begin to ask the questions, we're already starting to draw the answers to us. I mean, really, imagine many women surprised when they learned liposuction existed. I mean, you know, wow, sunscreen, all these different things. It was amazing. You know, the other hand, it works conversely. Just because we don't want to see something doesn't make it go away. I've heard it said that denial is not the river into Africa. Now, have you met somebody who sits around or lies around eating bonbons all day and then wonders where their great body is? Have you been someone who on some level or different type of fat is sitting around eating the bonbons and wondering where your manifestation, your answer to prayer is? You know, with this kind of sabotage, is it surprising that the results come not quickly or at all? Prayer works even when we don't think it does, and it works even when we sabotage ourselves. And they come in strange and unusual ways, those answers. Sometimes we call it a kick in the assets. Now, when we pray and we ignore the answers that come to us, and I speak from experience here, the answers get bigger and bigger, and they may not be very pleasant. Because we have to pray, we have to do our affirmations and our visualizations, and we have to take action. Life shows us what we need to deal with, and it will show us a way to do it if we pay attention. You know, that which has seemed unattainable becomes possible. The urge for a greater life can even be stronger than the urge for Cadbury chocolate Easter eggs. And I know a number of people who call them addictive. Myth number four, I need your approval. We don't need anybody's approval. You don't need your parents, you don't need your spouses, and you don't need God's. You know, it's really nice to have people agree with us and appreciate us, but you know, the real mark that we need is our own approval, not someone else's. You know, remember, God's not a big personality in the sky, not some big parent looming out there. Approval is a human idea. Absolutely. So when we give ourselves permission to live fully, that's the greatest gift we can give ourselves. The infinite always says yes, and that's really important. The infinite always, always says yes. But there's a price to pay. Things have to change, or they'll just remain as they were. But I know that that price is worth it. Because living up to someone else's standards drives us to eat whatever those bonbons of life are, those sabotaging behaviors that we know, even when we're doing them, that they're not in our best interest. Still, even the sabotaging gifts that we give ourselves, and they are that, you know, they're gifts, they call out to us, they literally scream, "Something's wrong in Denmark, pay attention." We're not bad or awful. We're doing something to get the answer we need. Isn't that a different way to look at it? You know, I do know that from experience. And hopefully you won't have to create some of the big messages I did because they went from like a little bell tinkling to a cannon going off. Now here's another myth, myth five. You have to because. Well, no, you don't. No, you do not. Not unless you want to. Refer back to the previous, your approval is needed. But, you know, somebody said, well, if you can do anything you want, wouldn't that promote really awful behavior? Ernest Holmes, the founder of Science of Mind, made three recommendations in making any decision. One, do I really want to do it? Two, is it in keeping with my goals? And three, does it bring harm to any living being? And we have to include ourselves there. So one, do we want to do it? Two, is it in keeping with our goals? And three, does it harm any living being? So often we forget to include ourselves. So the next time you hear, you have to because, remember, there's a difference in disappointing someone and bringing harm. And that's very important. Myth number six, and I've heard this a lot of times, and I've been there on several occasions. Well, it works for other people, but not for me. Well, if that's what you believe, then as the Bible would say, yea and verily. So it is. The law creates our expectations. So give it something better to work with. You know, focusing on the outer world is not the way of the spiritually adept. The spiritually advanced go to the cause, which is a change of focus and belief. So it's your business if you want to keep believing that you're ugly and your mother dresses you funny, because God's just going to say yes, no matter what you think. No evaluation. Myth number seven is a big one, and it's this. Something is wrong with me. Something is wrong with me. How many of us have heard, what is wrong with you? You know, the answer truly is nothing. Never has been, never will be. But the people you might respond that to probably will not be overjoyed to hear it, particularly if they're related to you. But it doesn't matter. It matters not a whit, because the only one who really needs to hear that is the one we wake up with every day of our lives, ourselves. So when we stop making ourselves wrong, we say yes to life, and a lot of things will just disappear that were once barriers. I heard something is wrong with you. What is it? So many times I made a lot of things wrong in my life. Thank God I came to this center and I learned something different. You know, and there's that, well, duh, could have had a V8 so many times, but then now there's the, oh yeah, I've had a V8. And the reason being is we don't need to berate ourselves because we didn't get it earlier. It's just another form of, you know, you've done something wrong. Now the next two go together, 8 and 9. 8. You'd be more lovable if. And we get that said to us in a lot of different ways, don't we? Well, we're lovable just as we are. Yet we can all learn to give love and receive love in a greater way. Perhaps it just would be better if we refrained from criticism and from reacting to it. Now, one man wrote recently in a national article that the answer to any question his wife gave him or any potential, you know, sticky situation was, have you lost weight? No matter what she said, have you lost weight? He said it didn't do anything about the situation, but their discussions went better and it improved the atmosphere. It's a thought. So you'd be more lovable if. And just right alongside that is myth number 9. If I change, you'll love me. And that's horse pucky. You are either loved or you are not. Let's face it. If you have to change to try and get somebody to love you, you are not loved. Changing to make somebody else to love you is another way of saying something's wrong with me. You know, of course it's more pleasant if we do things like take a shower, use deodorant, brush our teeth, but those are superficial things. That's not what I'm talking about. It's helpful, though. But if somebody thinks we're not enough for them as we are, then going after them and trying to get them to love us means we need a greater idea of love. It means we need a greater idea of love. Now, number 10, I've heard this a lot. If you don't get what you want, God has something better in mind for you. Have you ever heard that? Oh, honey, I know you're disappointed. God's got something better in mind for you. Psst. God doesn't have anything in mind for you. Big break. God doesn't have anything in mind for you. God's not a person. Our lives mirror our beliefs. If you got it, you believe it on some kind of level. We're never victims. You know, it can be fun to be a victim for a few minutes. Sometimes I just love to blame and whine, but it's so unproductive, and I snap out of it really quickly because I realize if I whine, I'm going to get more to whine about. Now, So forget that God has something better in mind for us. We need to have a better idea in mind for us, because that's where creation starts. Absolutely. To experience something, we have to be what we want. We have to embody that. We have to give what we receive. You want more friends? Be a better friend. You know, there's a way to do that, and there's no free lunch. We have to give something for it. Now, here's a case in point. Several years ago at our fall picnic, a man walked by, and I remarked to Paul, our senior minister, "Boy, I'd like to have legs like that." "Susan," he said, "that man runs about 60 miles a week." "Paul," I said, "you're mistaken. I don't want to do what he does. I just want to have legs like that." You know, I would say that's a case in point. Needless, I don't have legs like that. Number 11, God needs my help, indeed, my explicit direction for things to work out. Well, if I believe I have to control everything, then I better be controlling it really closely, or it's going to go to hell in a handbasket really quickly. You know, if I believe I have to eat a certain way to be healthy, or have a certain job only to be prosperous, then I better eat that way and I better have that job. And what happens is we've then given our power to the food or the job or the relationship or whatever it is. In essence, we've made a god of it. Control is an illusion, and it's a statement that we lack faith, and it actually empowers the fear underneath the doubt. But nonetheless, I and several others I've run into, just a few, seem to believe that the infinite should have us on speed dial. Go figure. Now, this one goes along with it. It's our last myth for today. If things don't work out as I have obsessively planned, democracy as we know it has failed. You know, when we believe there's only one way for something, like I must marry Boopsy Sue and no one else, we really limit our options. We do. You know, then there's always the possibility we'll really get Boopsy Sue or whatever it is that we want, and we have to deal with it. My goodness. Excuse me. You know, if we go in faith and in trust that there's more than we see, things happen so much better than we ever, ever imagined. I can tell you, because I've tried it both ways. And I was astonished to learn that even when it turned out not the way I wanted it, that the world kept on spinning and the tide still rolled in. And actually, it did it much better without me. So, you know, when you think about it, life's a lot like eBay. It is. Every hour, every day, things change. You never know what you'll find. Now, like eBay, how much in life we experience is up to us. And how much we give for what we want is up to us. And how wisely we choose is up to us. We can go after things we don't want or need and spend way too much time doing it. We can become competitive and overpay for something, believing that nothing is good or better will come along. We can miss out on a good deal, always looking for the next best thing. And we can get what we want, only to discover that it's not really what we wanted, and we can feel regret and disappointment. But, on the other hand, you know, we can take a chance and we can trust that what we desire is available, and we can wisely peruse what we find. The items we receive, the things in life we get, can be so much better than we expected. And remember, every time we participate, every moment, it's a new world. And we can appreciate the infinite variety that's available without having to want it or buy it all. And remember, bidding actually involves entering a legal contract. We have to pay for what we get, or we have to pay the consequences. Prayer is not a legal contract. It's much bigger than that. We're saying it to the infinite. And the infinite is actually even bigger than PayPal. you know, since power lies in what we do with our stories, what have I learned? That's the real point. I love those old phones because I love my aunt. I wish I'd said it more. She was a great person, and wherever she is now, I'm sure she still is great. I learned that education doesn't determine how far you go, and being thin doesn't equate happiness or health. Aunt Pearl showed me physical appearance does not limit love. I also learned that my mother's concerns about my aunt's weight were legitimate. It wasn't just obsessing. My aunt eventually had the effect of the weight and lack of exercise that left her rather immobile, and she lost her ability to live independently. I love the ways I'm like my aunt, and I appreciate the ways I differ from her. I exercise and I eat well. Most of all, I remember the woman who said to me, the only person in my life, "There is nothing you can ever do that will make me stop loving you." We should all be so loved, and we should all be so loving. So remember that no matter what happens, what your circumstances are, you and I can write our stories and we can change our lives even if we don't have all the answers, whether other people like it or not. There's nothing wrong with us. We are lovable. There's no God who withholds or punishes. God wants for us what we want for ourselves, so there's no need to manipulate or control. And as we grow in this understanding, the terror within us fades, and the outer world must reflect it. Tragedies like the Siege of Mumbai this week need never be repeated. The inevitability of war, whether it's within or without, is a myth with no basis in truth. And should you doubt this, remember, there is never, ever, ever anything bigger than God. And you're in a wonderful place to learn from inspired teachers. Support is here for you. Please take advantage of it. The power to create cannot be bought on eBay or anywhere else, because that power is within us always, and there's not one bit of long-distance service required. Everything we want is available in some form or another. We can have lives of mythic proportion, and they will be based on something much greater than what we call factual. Right here, right now, without one change, we are God in action. So would you join me in living like it? From my heart to yours, namaste, aloha, blessed be, and would you join me in saying, and so it is. Let's take a moment and let this absorb. Let's just breathe. Breathing is the act of bringing life into us and sustaining us. There's nothing to do. There's nothing we have to be right now. We simply are. Every breath we take brings greater things in our body than anyone can ever engineer. There's a peace within us, that part of God within us, that is always there and knows that it knows. And this part of us is never buffeted about by the winds of the world. It remains unchanged and timeless. It is our truth. And as we come to identify and understand and reveal it more and more, we will understand the way to be masters and mistresses of our own destiny. So knowing that the word put forth has no opposition, I know absolutely that we are changing this world for the good with every thought, deed, and action. We save the world by saving ourselves, and who we are speaks more loudly than anything we say. And despite appearances, this is a wonderful day, a wonderful life, and a wonderful world for which I am exceedingly grateful. Knowing it's so, so it is.